Good day, everyone. Welcome to the 23 Podcast. Wherever you are, whenever you are listening, thank you so much for making us part of your day today. My name is Parker Kern, here as most of the time with my good friend, our co-host, and our pastor, Father Jeff Macbeth. Father, what's up?
Well, we're just going through Advent.
The sky.
You know? Yeah, the sky. There's one of our kids. Like, I've learned, like, that's his response every time I'm like, what's up? He's like, this guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm so used to asking that. Like, I've gotten better about not, you know, because I'm like, I know this is what he's going to say. So I just got to say, like, hey, or something like that. I can't be like, what's up?
Hey, man.
I know I'm just going to get this guy. And so he's training me to, like,
To avoid
adjust my delivery. Well, I'm not going to avoid him.
Avoid the crutch. I mean, avoid saying that to people.
I know. Yeah, I got to adjust my delivery.
Yeah,
you know, I got to be more intentional. Which is probably not bad to be more intentional about things and not just be like,
yeah,
what's up to like everybody.
I'm a big how's it going guy, and you know, it's sometimes that's not quite appropriate. You know, if like someone has something they're going through, it's like, right. Hey, how's it going?
No,
it's like,
exactly.
Oh, I shouldn't have, you know, like you walk into a funeral home. It's like, hey, how's it going? Yeah. Like, how do you think it's going, yeah. Dude? It's like, oh gosh, you know?
Yeah. Or sometimes people will walk into like for confession. I'm like, how's it going?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh dang, it could be going really badly actually.
That's why I'm here, Father.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, I know one of those places where it's probably not appropriate.
Yeah. Do you have like a gesture that you do to people? Like if you see someone from afar that you know, do you like, for example, do you wave at them or do you like smile? Do you have any like sort of, mine is the upward head raise.
Yeah, I tend to do that. I think it depends on the generation actually. Yeah. Like if they're younger, I'll do the.
I do that to everybody.
The kind of head thing. You know, if not, it'd probably more like a wave, or kind of a smile, but nod in the other direction.
Yeah.
You know,
what is the difference between nodding up and nodding down? Because I do the nod up most times, but also sometimes I find myself doing the smile, like the what you just did. You can't see it, listeners, but he did the smirk and the
with the down.
The smirk and the down.
Yeah,
right.
The like smirk and the down.
Like you've. What I'd is say, the difference?
So for me, the head up is sort of. It's a silent way of saying what's up, right? Because sometimes you do the two together, like what's up, you know, maybe that takes me back to high school. But
oh no,
it's sort of like,
well, that's how you greet me sometimes.
That what's up,
and you know, I do the same to you.
It's just sort of ingrained that the upward head thing is just a nonverbal what's up,
right? I feel like whereas that's like smile, a Gen X and under thing.
Yes, whereas the kind of smile and down is more like hello.
I'm so glad that someone else experiences this.
Yes.
I mean, we're very, very, so, yeah. I mean, we were talking about Spotify listening age last week, right? Which was an absolute amazing discussion. If you weren't around for that, you must go back and listen.
Your life will never be the same.
But I wonder if there's a gesturing age that we both, you know, have, right? Like,
yeah. Now, that reminded me, it's slightly off topic. I don't, for some reason, I think because I went to this website, this is not bad, so don't worry.
I couldn't but care on less. My, it's bad, good, or indifferent.
Well, no. We should be careful what websites we go to. But there is there's thing called this is a real company that sells real things. So this is the Slangometer Generational Translator.
Oh.
And I think it's a wheel. That you can turn.
No way.
And then, so for it, and it has different things. So, for example, it gives four generations: Boomer, Gen X, Millennial, Gen Z.
What?
So for this one, you turn, and a Boomer would say far out, Gen X would say awesome, Millennial would say lit, and Gen Z would say fire. So it's sort of like different generations, what they would say for the same basic idea. Then you turn it, and it's a whole nother thing. And that's great.
That's the greatest thing I've seen in my life.
That's what I haven't bought it yet.
You can buy it?
Yeah, totally. It's a thing.
Oh, I'm
I think it's like it's descentpins.com or something like that.
I'm buying this.
Yeah, they have some other fun things too.
Descentpins Slangometer.
Yeah, Slangomatic. Slangomatic.
Oh,
generational translator.
It's on Amazon.
Yeah. Yeah. So no, when I saw that, I'm like, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Okay. Well,
like, why didn't someone come up with that sooner?
At the staff epiphany party, get ready.
Yeah. Maybe that could be the staff Christmas gift. So
no, I'm getting you that for Christmas.
Oh, excellent.
Well, just for, as my aunt would say, just forget that I told you about
that's
it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Like she like asked me like what I want like as a kid, and I'd be like, oh, I'd like this. And she'd go, okay, just forget that I asked.
That's
and I'd
right.
be like, yeah, okay. And then most times I did, and whatever.
That's right.
Did you ever have a, did you ever do advent calendars growing up?
Like in school. There might be others, like where you get like the piece of candy a day or something like that.
Ooh, piece of candy. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't done like an advent calendar more recently.
No, I saw one at Target the other day. I was like, that's pretty interesting.
Hmm.
I almost
it is interesting though, isn't it? That like with all the secularization,
right?
Like a place like Target would have an advent.
I sort of appreciated that
calendar.
I sort of appreciated
it. Which not all Christians do advent even.
No, and even more so, it was in the Chip and Joanna Gaines section.
So, there you go.
I'm not even joking.
No, I believe it.
It was like we needed some fancy bowls for something, and I was standing there, and I'm like, oh, this is an advent calendar. That's kind of nice.
I think Chip and Joanna are Christian, so it kind of fits.
Good. I'm a huge fan. No, I was like a little shell-shocked to see it at Target, but, you know.
Yeah.
That's very good. So no advent calendar for you?
Not recently, no. What I've been doing the last couple of years...
yeah, advent traditions, anything?
Newer tradition. I saw this advertisement on, I was watching EWTN news for like this, the Jesse tree. But the ornaments are really big. They're like wood. They're like 2.5 inches across.
Oh.
So they're not like small. And so I'm not really like great with decorating for Christmas. Cause it's just, I live with by myself, you know, and,
yeah.
You know, so I thought, you know, it's sort of a way of getting a tree up and putting stuff on it is if I made it a Jesse tree. I don't know if I talked about this last year, because last year was the first time I did it.
Keep going.
And so, like, every day, you know, it starts with creation, and then it kind of goes through the, you know, different figures in salvation history, you know, coming up to the birth of Jesus, and it comes with this book. It has, like, a scripture passage, you know, for the day that corresponds, you know, and then like a little reflection and a prayer. So that's become a something. And so by the time you hit Christmas, you get like 27 ornaments on this tree, you know, that you did like one at a time.
That's nice.
Kind of a thing.
That's sort of like a advent calendar in a way.
Right, it is. Yeah, because right, it's each day similar. Of advent you're doing something, and you know, you're adding these ornaments to the tree. You know, different, you know, kind of parts of the, of course, you know, the whole day of the Jesse tree, in some sense, came from our, like, first reading that we had last Sunday with the stump of Jesse, you know, and the shoot sprouting from it, you know, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's kind of what one thing I've been doing the last couple of years that I think is becoming a little bit of a...
I like that.
A bit of a tradition.
I like that.
I don't have an Advent wreath at home, because, again, it's just me,
yeah.
So it's not like I'm going to light this while eating dinner, you know,
no, yeah.
while watching the news or whatever. Yeah,
well, what you could probably do is just put like a YouTube ambience video on of like a
there you go.
Like an advent wreath, and then you know,
the
you could have it, yeah, and then it's got some music
instead
or something.
Of the Christmas fireplace, I could have the,
yeah.
the advent
hey, that,
wreath
don't,
on the screen.
Don't knock that, man. Don't knock the ambience. That mm-hmm. stuff is good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I remember 6 years ago, I hosted Thanksgiving at my apartment. Because my parents were in the process of building their house, and their kitchen was not prepared yet. I mean, they didn't have the floor. I mean, they had, obviously, the house was built, but they didn't have, you know, the covering, the mm-hmm. whatever, LVP, whatever floor they have. So they needed to have it somewhere. And I'm like, well, I have my apartment. Mm. You guys could come over. So my parents and my aunt and me hung out there. But, you know, obviously I didn't have a fireplace. So I remember they all were coming in, and I turned on the YouTube fireplace. So I was like, oh, look, it's just like the just like the house, you know.
Nice and cozy.
Yeah. So it ended up being one of my favorite Thanksgivings ever. I mean, the kitchen was like, I mean, my dad and, you know, mom and I were trying to, you know, make all the food. And of course I was working that morning at Mass and played Mass, came back to my apartment, which was weird. And then my parents are there. It's like, this is all sorts of weird.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of the most beautiful, you know, we were just talking about that a couple weeks ago at Thanksgiving that, you know, obviously this was pre-Marissa, but mm-hmm. like that was one of our favorite, because it was just a very interesting time.
Yeah, there's one thing about sort of the traditional things we do on the holidays, but
right,
to mix it up once in a while, we wouldn't have stories otherwise.
Exactly, yeah.
Reminds me of a memorable Christmas dinner.
Oh, yeah.
My mom was still down in Virginia visiting my brother and his family, and so it was just me and grandma, and I don't know if I told this story before, so she was, she lived at this convent for years, you know, the last like 18 years of her life or so, and so we went up to, I just went up to her, to the mother house, and we had, she had DiGiorno pizza.
Oh!
And she's like, should we do the pepperoni or should we do the supreme? And I'm like, well, it's Christmas. You got to do the supreme. Like, let's not be chintzy here. Like, come on.
That's
so
great.
Her and I and a couple of the sisters, you know, had a DiGiorno pizza for Christmas dinner.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That sounds like better than some of the Christmas dinners I've had in the past.
So
I love DiGiorno. That's great. That's a fantastic. Yeah. See, like that sort of thing is like, it sticks with you, you know?
Well, and I told that, I think, in a homily for Holy Family, like that fall, you know, that next weekend, you know, and someone came up to me afterwards, like, oh, thank you. Like, I've just been stressing myself out so much about the perfect Christmas dinner, and that just sort of helped bring me down.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like, you know, ground, you know, what's most important here?
Right. And
kind of like, you know, with last, you know, Thanksgiving, you know, I went, my aunt made chili.
Yes.
You know, and
right,
a lot of people said, well, it's the company that makes it. Like,
yeah, it's
exactly
the people.
It, you know,
it's the people.
Yeah, it was great.
And that's what also, I mean, again, as we're looking at Christmas now, and I'm sure as the weeks go by in December, more and more people are going to have, you know, family Christmas gatherings, and it's the people. Obviously, you know, the real reason we're all gathering and celebrating this is because of the birth of Christ, mm-hmm, which we're celebrating in a couple weeks, but it's the people that make the difference.
The gathering,
know?
Yep.
And it's, yeah, the gathering, the act of doing that, the act of, you know, breaking bread together, even if it's frozen bread in pizza form.
That's right.
It's still,
even if it's self-rising crust.
I mean, I don't, their pizza is so good. It's fantastic. I also like, in addition to, you know, Cinnamon Toast Crunch and all the other terrible
right
things
I
eat.
It's right up there.
DiGiorno. I mean, it's so, I popped one in on, it was Black Friday, I popped one in. Because we were, you know, doing some shopping, doing online shopping.
Out and about.
I was like, oh, no, it was, we did all
online. Yeah.
It was kind of cold and.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm just gonna throw this in, and you know, of course, Marissa's like, I wanted something healthy, and I was like, well, they have thin crust too.
See, so. Exactly, exactly.
So anyway, Father, well,
that's more what I would tend to do, and then I can eat like the whole thing.
Oh yeah, yeah, you can house that very quickly. Mm-hmm. I agree. So, well, we should probably switch gears now. Take the pizza out of the oven switch gears to the scripture this week,
mm-hmm,
for the third Sunday of Advent, the Rose Sunday.
Yes, Rose Sunday. Yeah. So this is, so we're hearing again about John the Baptist. We talked about last week, kind of a main figure in the season of Advent. Later on in Matthew's gospel, so this comes from Matthew 11, verses 2 to 11. When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of the Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? Jesus said to them in reply, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me. As they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Then why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, but and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you. And I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least of the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So yeah, once again, we kind of have like the John the Baptist and they're preparing the way,
mm-hmm,
although now from the lips of Jesus proclaiming who he is. I think even last week we talked about just John the Baptist being this great figure.
Yeah,
a
spiritual giant.
Yeah, but yet Jesus says the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.
Yeah.
Like, however important, for lack of a better word, we are here on earth, like, it's all nothing compared to, you know, the greatness of heaven, which we're all aspiring.
That's true. And again, we're all, I think maybe we have, we're like John and we have questions sometimes, right? And we sort of doubt things. And again, we talked last week about being on cruise control, but maybe sometimes we slide off course.
Yeah.
And we start to doubt, or we start to have questions. Mm-hmm. And again, God can handle those honest struggles that we have. He can handle anything, right?
Yeah. I wonder too, if John met that question, if that was his own question, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another, or was he like teeing up his disciples to like grasp it?
Yeah. I guess that's a good question.
You know, because it seems like other places where John's pretty sure, you know, and so, right, it's just like, maybe I'm not so sure, or he knew, but he was in prison.
Right.
And, you know, of course, then he would be beheaded. And so I wonder if he knew like his time was short and he wanted those who were following him to, you know, switch over to following Jesus.
Yeah, he wanted to put Jesus over or something.
Yeah. You know? And so it was sort of like, you know, sometimes we ask people questions that we already know the answer to, but we want them to wrestle with the question.
Yeah.
You know? And I wonder if this is one of those times. And so then Jesus' response is great, not like, yes.
Yeah. Jesus never makes it cut and dry.
Right. Yeah. So since you're asking, yeah, yes, I am the one who's to come.
He gave him the downward nod and said, mm-hmm. Well, John, you see.
But you know, he says, What do you see in here? You know, right?
Yeah.
And all the miraculous, you know, things he was doing, the way God was
right. Looking for the signs of life.
Yeah, bringing, you know, signs and wonders, you know, miracles, you know.
And we could still tie that into our life today because again, there's so many things that are happening that are obviously bad or not good, you know, in the world, there's also that much, if not more, good that's going on. And the, you know, the healing, the signs of life that we still can see. I mean, every breath we take is a gift. So, you know, if we're ever sort of in doubt of anything,
yeah,
we can always point back to that and say, hey, this is still going on. Right.
Yeah. I was thinking too of just, you know, the way, yeah, God moves in people's lives. And, you know, even we see that with our catechumens and candidates and the OCIA and,
oh, yes.
You know, the way that they've, you know, kind of come to know the Lord more. You know, that's a sign, right, of God's presence and God moving. And maybe that's part of the call for our Advent season too, is to, you know, recognize, you know, where we see God working. I mean, maybe it's not like a literal blind regain their sight, lame walk, although that happens. But you know, it could be in a more subtle way, a more spiritual way. Maybe it's even within ourselves. Maybe we look back, you know, on our own life and we're like, yeah, this is where the Lord kind of brought some healing and freedom into my life. And we can recognize that as a sign that he is the one, you know, he is the Savior. And so maybe a good time to look at that in our own lives, where we see God move in other people's lives. You know, when people come back to faith, for example,
yes.
And all sorts of ways, you know, that we can see this just play out in our own lives, and it happens a good time maybe to recognize that and celebrate that.
I agree.
Glory to God for that.
Yeah, for sure. And this other idea that, you know, joy isn't necessarily, you know, naive. It's sort of chosen. Like, we mm-hmm. choose to be joyful.
Mm-hmm.
We choose to be full of gratitude, right? Gaudete Sunday.
Yeah.
Joy Sunday.
Rejoice.
Right? Yeah. So, again, even in the struggles, even in the busy times, there's always, you know, we choose to be joyful. Right.
Yeah. You know, Chris Stefanik, you know, gave us talk about that a couple years ago here, right? This whole book, like, choose joy.
Yeah.
You know, it's a joy that can be despite our circumstances, and joy not just sort of a giddy happiness, but the joy of
right.
just knowing God in our life, you know, deep down, and that he has worked, that he is working, and that he wants to continue to do more.
Yeah. And it takes more muscles to frown than to smile. So why wouldn't you?
There you go.
Why wouldn't you want to smile?
Yeah, maybe it's trying to work out your face more.
or you're trying to practice your gestures for, you know,
that's right.
If you see someone that you sort of like, but you also don't know how you feel, so you can, the downward nod with the frown.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad we've had this discussion. This is very good. But yeah, Father. So, you know, Gaudete Sunday, we're right. I wouldn't say we're on the cusp of the end of Advent, but we sort of are.
We're just over halfway there now.
Mm-hmm. We will be on Sunday, and then, you know, the fourth Sunday, and then of course, you know, we celebrate the Nativity of the Lord in a couple Thursdays from now, which would be fantastic. Or most of us probably on Wednesday night for the Christmas Eve services. But at the very least, you know, we're sort of on that road, right? And as we talked about last week, we sort of have this arc through Advent where we, you know, go through all the different comings of Christ, right? And so now we're sort of zeroing in on that nativity. And, you know, again, like next week, we're going to be sort of focusing on that. And again, we're focusing this week sort of on how he's, you know, coming to us, maybe, like in our own everyday life. Because again, we could have those same sort of like, all right, is this the one? Is he the one?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, he loves me, he loves me not, you know, like those rom-coms, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Same deal. Like, is God really, you know, is Jesus really my savior? Or, you know, because sometimes we might have those things where we, you know, doubt creeps in. So we have to continue to remind ourselves that he is, and he's the one who came, was born, died, and saves us all.
Yeah. Also, I smile because this, the line I use, the one who is to come or should we look for another, is one of those scripture lines I just use like in just random conversation sometimes.
You just sneak it in?
I do. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Or, you know, like if Father Al stops by the office, you know, I'm like, oh, I saw your star, it's rising, and I've come to do homage.
Oh. Sometimes I say, get behind me, Satan.
That's just right. That's
for, yeah, that's right. That's a good one for Lent. But,
you know, we're living the scriptures.
That's right, yeah. Usually when somebody asks me for another piece of pie or something, get behind me, Satan.
That's right.
No thanks.
That's right.
All
right. Yeah, I usually quote Jesus saying, you know, eat what's set before you.
What I have written, I have written. That's another one I like. When you screw up something.
Oh, that's right.
It, you know, it's, oh, you didn't? I say, what I have written, I have written.
That's right. You
know, was that the? I think that was a Pontius Pilate, right?
Yeah, or, probably not the best company, but whatever.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably not the best guy, the source for the quote, but, you know.
You know, we can make it work.
We do. So on that note, Father, let's pray for my sins and my misquotings of people.
Yeah, or other stuff. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, give us the grace to recall the ways that you have already worked in our lives and in the lives of others, and in that way, prepare to have you work even more, because we know that you always have more in store for us. And so help us to be open to that. Help us to declare your works so that others can come to know you better as well. God, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. Sustain us this day and each day in that love, in the Holy Spirit, and through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father, thank you.
Parker, thanks everyone. God bless. See ya.